This is the Blind Geek Zone. Blind Geek Zone podcast number 49 for October 10th, 2011. Hey, this is Rick, and I'm back. It's been quite a while. Lots of things going on here, and just things that have been keeping me from getting any podcasts out, and I'll explain that throughout the podcast. Today, got several things to cover, and if you listen to my BGZ podcast 48 yesterday, I think those of you who have commented back to me, it was interesting to hear some of the things that people had to say. Some of it, made sense, and I guess some of it didn't. But thanks for all the comments, and keep them coming if you're listening to it. And want to comment, that's fine. You can get back to me via Twitter, or some people have wrote out on the Blind Geek Zone mailing list and all kinds of things like that. Okay, have a list of things I want to talk about today. And let me look at my list here. All right, one of the first things I wanted to talk about is the Blind Geek Zone stream. Excuse me. That we use to do the live casts. UltraHost has been having a lot of problems here lately, and tried to use it the other day to do something and couldn't get the stream to come up. So what I'm going to do most likely here this month is cancel the UltraHost's the Ultra streams from UltraHost and get a stream somewhere else. Not sure where that's going to be yet, but UltraHost just aren't reliable anymore, and they've just been having too many major problems for a place that's supposedly, you know, is serving everybody. They don't seem to have much redundancy at all, and I'm definitely going to make a move there. So that's part of the reason why we haven't done another live cast. Also, I know I've talked about this several times, but Blind Geek Zone is going to be moving to a new host, hopefully this month, and it will be Dream Hosts. I've already got a hosting account set up. I just have to get things moved over and get a friend of mine to help me with the domain transfers and everything, but I've been assured that shouldn't take much effort. So we should be doing that this month, like I said, and it shouldn't impact anybody, at least not much. If you don't see the site up, just be aware that that's why. I suppose it could go down for a couple days, I guess, you know, for the DNS to propagate around the world. So just remember that if that happens. It's just part of our moving, and this should work out pretty well, I'm hoping. All right, BGZ, phone number. We've set up a phone number again. I wanted to do this to not have my phone number at home really associated with Blind Geek Zone. I've got a lot of people that seem to like to call at all hours of the day and night, and you know, don't really appreciate getting woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning with somebody wanting assistance. I mean, you know, I like to sleep that time of the night. So what I've done, several people suggested this, using Google Voicemail and or Google Voice or whatever it's called, and have a phone number through there. I'll give that out right now. And this is for anything to do with Blind Geek Zone. If you want training, technical support, things like that, you can call the number. If you want to leave comments about anything I'm doing here, you can do that. If you have suggestions for upcoming things, you can do that. I've already got a couple of those. I think Ming from Hong Kong sent me something, and Bobby Vinton from New York sent me something that I'll look into and see what I can do with either one of those suggestions. The phone number is area code 330-203-1240. +44. And if you're outside the United States, the country code is +1. So there you go. And if you call that number, it will allow you to leave a voicemail if I have it set to do not disturb, and I do have that set that way fairly often. But rest assured, I get an email immediately, and I will know that you called, and I will be able to do whatever I need to do there. So take advantage of that, and maybe we can get some, like we used to do with the Skype voicemail, where we had people as part of the podcast, where I'd put the recordings in and let people, you know, give their comments and stuff. So, or if you have something to demonstrate or whatever. I don't know how long the voicemail will allow you to record on there. I don't know if it's just a couple of minutes or what. But feel free to use it. That's what it's there for. And I hope people will actually do that. All right. Our next topic here is, and I've just got a list of things here written down and just going through them sequentially. Kindle. As some of you probably are aware, Amazon released some new Kindles here at the end of September. I think it was the 27th or 28th. One is called the Kindle Fire, the other is called the Kindle Touch, and the third is called the Kindle Keyboard. The Kindle Keyboard essentially is the Kindle 3, from what I hear, rebundled, rebranded, and still retains what accessibility it had, which isn't a lot, but like others have said, it is a usable device if you're just wanting to listen to books, and it does give you access to a lot of books. If you're looking to go word by word, sentence by sentence, character by character, it certainly will not do that, but it will go from page to page and chapter to chapter, which if you're just a casual listener is probably adequate. But what brings this topic up here isn't the Kindle Keyboard at all. It has to do with the Kindle Fire and the Kindle Touch. As some of you know, back in, I believe it was summer of 2009 at the NFB and the ACB conferences, it was announced that both organizations had come to terms with Amazon in regards to a lawsuit over Arizona State University and the Kindle being used there, you know, not being accessible to blind students. And at that point, Amazon did make some changes to the Kindle 3, and they did place what I would say is, well, maybe not a minimal amount of accessibility, but not a great deal of accessibility to the product. And they were supposed to, you know, do even more, but apparently, for whatever reason, they've snubbed their noses at us. And the new Kindle Fire and the new Kindle Touch are not accessible at all. There's also a Kindle. It was the cheapest one. It was $79. It's not accessible, and it won't be accessible because I guess it doesn't even have a keyboard, or not a keyboard, but a speaker. And I forget what that unit was called, but it won't be accessible at all. But the Kindle Fire and the Kindle Touch also are not accessible, and a lot of people have been upset about it. And what I've done, and what a number of other people have done to show our displeasure at Amazon, is to go out and pre-order the Kindle Fire, which is a $199 unit, and then immediately cancel it. When asked why we're canceling, we let Amazon know that it's due to no accessibility. And hopefully, if enough of us do that, it's going to get Amazon's attention that, hey, you know, blind people do spend money on our products, and, you know, look at the amount of money we're losing here. You know, if we get 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people to do this, you can do the math. 200 times 3,000, you know, that's It's a lot of money. It's what, $600,000 or $6 million? My mind doesn't work that well on math. But, you know, it's a lot of money. And hopefully they'll take notice if we do that. Another way that you can work in this effort is some people on Twitter have created what is called the Kindle Fire Sale. And go to this website here. They have a website that you can visit, and it's http://Kindle, Kindle, fire, sale, .org. So that's http://KindleFireSale.org. And if you go there, you can join up. And they're going to try and organize a mass effort to do this, not just the blind, but sighted as well, and other disabilities to join in on this project. And I think they're trying to do some analytics and stuff, but haven't heard much from them lately. But, you know, either way, if you, you know, go to Amazon and just do it yourself like I did, or you join KindleFireSale.org, we definitely want to get Amazon's attention. I think that's one way to do it, because, you know, let's face it, these electronic book readers are not going anywhere. They're just going to get more and more prevalent, and the blind need access to these devices. You know, not just Amazon's, but, you know, the Nook by, I think it's Barnes & Noble. And, you know, Sony has e-book readers and so on and so forth. And we need not stop just at Amazon. We need to go after all these other people, too, and show them that, you know, blind people want to read books, too. You know, we don't just sit in corners and twiddle our thumbs. You know, we want to read books. And we want access to books just like the sighted community does on the day the book is sold. And, you know, we want it same price as the sighted. You know, we don't expect it for free. We're happy to pay for it, just like sighted people do. And, you know, that's what we demand, that kind of access. So there you go. I hope you'll think about that and stand up and let Amazon know that you're not satisfied with their lack of accessibility in the latest Kindle products. Okay, let's see what I got up here next. Okay, those of you in the Apple world, a couple things here. The iPhone 4S was announced last Wednesday by Apple, and it's going to be a new phone, not the iPhone 5 that a lot of the rumor places suspected that would come out, but it does have at least some of the iPhone 5's features. It's going to be a faster phone. It has a dual-core processor, I think the same one that the iPad 2 has. Apple didn't mention whether or not it was going to have 1 gig of memory, like the rumors were saying. My understanding is it still has 512 meg. Basically, on the outside, it looks the same as a iPhone 4, although I'm hearing from Jeff Bishop and others today that OtterBox has stated that their cases will not fit the iPhone 4's bodies. There are different differences, I guess, in camera placement and perhaps the volume control buttons. Verizon had told a friend of mine when he bought his iPhone 4S that he could use his OtterBox case, and I'm assuming at this point that they were incorrect in that assumption. But somebody also said on Twitter that OtterBox had told them if they had a Verizon iPhone 4S, it would use the Verizon iPhone 4's OtterBox case, as there weren't, I guess, any big changes made there. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But if you're upgrading from an iPhone 4 to an iPhone 4S, be aware of that, that your case may not work. Some of the other changes is better camera, bumped up from a 5 megapixel to an 8 megapixel with backlighting. Supposed to work in lower light levels than the 4's camera. A lot of different functionality there, I guess, with autofocus and red eye reduction and things like that that are, I guess, built into iOS 5, which will be releasing on Wednesday of this week, the 12th. And that will be available for all the iOS devices, iPhone 4s, iPod Touches, and iPads, and all that good stuff. And there are all kinds of new features there. That's something we'll definitely have to go over, and I'm sure other places will as well. Another new thing on the iPhone 4S is it has a dual antenna system. I guess there were some issues on the iPhone 4 of dropped calls due to what Apple described as people holding the phone wrong. I don't know how you hold a phone wrong, but the new 4S has a dual antenna system, I guess, that can switch back and forth depending on how you're holding the phone so you don't lose signal. Also, supposedly there's just one phone now between AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon. The phone has CDMA and GSM built into it, although, like I said, I did hear some rumors that supposedly the physical layout of the Verizon phone and the AT&T phone are slightly different. I don't know if that's true or not, though. Another huge thing is the voice assistant that will be available for the 4S only, called Siri, Siri. And quite an interesting demonstration they had Wednesday at the show. You could basically, ask Siri, what appointments do I have for today? And Siri would come back, well, you got a 3:30 with so and so and so and so, and a 5 o'clock with so and so. And you could say, well, change my 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock and contact so and so and let them know. Or you could do things like, what time is it? And it will tell you, or what time is it in Paris? Or it can, learn like, so and so is your wife, on your contacts list. And you can say, call my wife instead of the contact name, or text my wife, and you can actually dictate a text or an email out. All kinds of things, like, wake me up at 6:30 a.m. or, change my alarm to 9:30 a.m. You can say, do I need a jacket today? And it'll actually go up and look up the weather for where you're at, and you come back, no, it's going to be warm today. And it's really, really neat. And from what I heard of the demonstration, I guess people that looked at it, they actually had a blind person in the recording that they did for the demonstration. And so, Apple has done a really great job at, making these devices available for everybody and, getting the word out there, that everybody uses their phones, blind people, deaf people, all kinds of disabilities, regular sighted people. And it was nice to see that with a, a blind woman using the phone in the video demonstration of the product. So that's going to be really interesting. We'll see what that offers, but that, unfortunately, that's only going to be available to iPhone 4S users. I guess it has to do with the processor speed and all that good stuff. Another thing about Apple, Steve Jobs on Thursday passed away at 56 from pancreatic cancer. And he had been fighting for several years now with cancer, and he had a liver transplant back in 2009. And he stepped down earlier this year as CEO of Apple, and unfortunately, he passed away on Thursday. And a lot of comments from the community, and I'll basically echo those. The iPhone 4 has changed my life dramatically. The iPhone Touch as well, that I started using last year, has allowed me to do so many different things, that a sighted person could do, and has allowed me to do things that I don't have to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars for as a blind user, like money identification. I can use the iPhone 4 or the iPod Touch 4 to identify money with the LookTel app. It cost me a whole, I think it was $1.99 for that, versus $99 for what is an excellent product, the iBill, and I, you know, applaud them for making that product so cheap, because all the other alternatives are much, much higher than $100, and none of them that I've ever seen worked half as well as it did. But LookTel works just as good as the iBill, and probably even maybe a little faster. GPS, you know, I bought my Ozone last year, and I spent nearly $900 for GPS from Sendero. And I had to pay, you know, $300 for a screen reader. So, you know, I take a $75 phone and basically put well over $1,000 into it just to make it work for me. And then this year I was able to go, you know, get an iPhone 4 for $300, just same price as a sighted person would pay or anybody would pay for it, and was able to go out and get GPS applications anywhere from free to, you know, $30 or so, and actually use those programs pretty well. I'm still adjusting to some of the programs, but I've used Sendero's Look Around, which is a $5 app, and generally it has worked out fairly well for me, and other apps have worked out as well. But what I'm getting at is, you know, these applications only cost a fraction of what the blind community's assistive technology applications have been costing. And Apple's definitely, I think, going to make some changes to this arena, because I don't think the assistive technology arena is just going to be able to continue forever selling products to us for many, many times what they're really worth. And like I said, Steve Jobs, you know, definitely has changed that for the blind community. I know the blind community is very thankful for the advances in VoiceOver on the Mac and on the iDevices that have been made over the last couple of years. I know for one, like I said, it's changed my life in many positive ways. So, you know, he will be definitely missed, and I hope Apple continues down the path that it has chosen and continues to make the devices accessible. And iOS 5 has many important accessibility and voiceover enhancements, and those will all be interesting to see here coming up on Wednesday. So, like I said, I applaud Apple for that, and, you know, rest in peace, Steve. You know, you'll definitely be missed. All right, next up on our agenda today is new mailing lists. Last month, I created a couple of new email lists. One of them is for Windows 8, which developer preview came out in September, that people can actually download and try. I wouldn't recommend this if you don't have a spare machine or you really don't know what you're doing. By all means, do not put this on your main machine, because it is very rough still, and accessibility is interesting. NVDA and Ceratex System Access work fairly well with Windows 8. There have been a lot of changes to Narrator, making it better in Windows 8, but at this point, JAWS and Window Eyes will not work in the developer build of the Windows 8 release. And if you'd like to join that list, it's a Yahoo group, and it's blind Windows 8-subscribe at yahoogroups.com. You get a message back, just do a blank reply to it, you'll be added to the list. And we've got, I think, about 90 people there so far, and been discussing the beta build that was put out. So if you'd like to discuss that and get a heads up on what's going to be new with Windows 8 coming out next year, be sure to join that list. The second list I created is for Apple. And I know there are already some lists out there, but I just wanted to create one as well. And this is called Blind Apples, A-P-P-L-E-S. And here we'll discuss all things Apple as related to the blind user. You know, how to use VoiceOver on the Mac, how to use the iDevices, and all that good stuff. Anything that you can think of about Apple and how it relates to a blind person using the product is welcome there. And you can join that group, again, Yahoo group, blindapples-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And again, you'll get a message back, do a blank reply to it, and you'll be added to the list. And I think there's about 70 or 75 people there right now. So, hope to see you at either one of those lists. And as usual, the Blind Geek Zone mailing list is alive and well. I think we've got close to 300 people on that list now. And always interesting discussions going on over there. So, if you haven't joined that and you would like to, that's Yahoo group as well, and that's Blind Geek Zone, BLINDGEEKZONE dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com as well. All right, next. And I think that is our last topic here. And this has to do with recording issues, and these have been plaguing me now for a while, and it has been the reason why I haven't had a whole lot of content put up on the website here lately. I just recorded a Outlook 2007 Basics podcast last week. I've had a lot of requests for an Outlook set of podcasts similar to the Outlook Express Basics that I did a couple years ago. And I finally decided to do that, but when I recorded it, my voice was extremely low and Jaws was extremely loud. And all attempts in trying to balance that just really didn't work out well. I've been having a lot of problems here, especially since Windows 7. And I'm trying to figure out a way still to fix this. I started to look at virtual audio cable, and boy, that's a daunting program. But I am going to learn how to use that, and hopefully that will solve my problems. Other than that, I'd have to get a mixer, I guess, and get some different mics and stuff and pump in everything that way and try to do it. But I want to try virtual audio cable first because it's a lot cheaper and I think it'll actually do more of what I want to do. I just need to learn how to use it. A person out on Twitter by the name of Alex did a demonstration. I'll have to see if he'll let us post that up on Blind Geek Zone, but he demonstrated how to set the program up, and I've been listening to that. I need to listen to it again. I had limited success the other day in setting up a virtual audio cable, but I think I was just doing something wrong. So hopefully that will solve our problem. I'll be able to start doing some recordings again, because I know people have been asking why I haven't had much up lately. So, and that's basically the reason, and plus just time constraints, you know, working with customers and, you know, doing volunteer work and things like that. It's just kept me busy, and I just haven't had a whole lot of time to dedicate to the website here lately. And been trying to rectify that here in the last couple of days and recording these last two BGZ podcasts just to let everybody know what's going on and how things are going, so at least get something out there and talk about things that are going on, and hopefully you appreciate that. And hopefully I can get back to demoing products and programs here really, really soon. All right, that concludes this podcast for today, and I'll get this up on the website and out to everybody, and hope you enjoy it. And like I said, hopefully I'll be back soon with live casts and product demos. Just going to get some things straightened out here before we can do that. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.